Jazz, 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. Jamal Ahmed and the Soul of Jazz on this Monday afternoon. That's music from Lee Rittenour. We've got about 9 until the hour of 3 o'clock, and I tell you, this weekend was action-packed here in the city of Atlanta. So many luminaries in our great city, in our fair city, this weekend for the Trumpet Awards, which took place this Saturday. And I'm so honored right now to have someone who was recently honored at this year's Trumpet Awards, and I'm a big fan of her work and what she's been doing for this country. I want to welcome to the phone line Congresswoman Barbara Lee. How you doing today, ma'am?
Doing great. Thank you for giving me a chance to talk with you.
No problem. First of all, congratulations on being honored at the Trumpet Awards this weekend.
Oh, thank you very much. I tell you, it was quite a humbling moment for myself and all 20 members of the Congressional Black Caucus, who are African-American women who work each and every day to not only make our own communities better and to create the kind of foundation for the America dream for everyone, but who work each and every day on behalf of the country. They really are the heart and soul of our Congress. So it was really quite remarkable. And I just want to say to Mrs. Clayton and to the Trumpet Awards that, to the staff, the board, to everybody who has made this happen, that it really speaks volume of their understanding of why we need to highlight and honor our own.
Exactly. You know, speaking of honoring Congresswoman Barbara Lee, today, on this day, January the 25th, back in 1972, your predecessor, the great Shirley Chisholm, the first black woman elected to Congress, and she actually opened up her campaign, her historic campaign, on this day to run for president. And it's interesting that I'm talking to you on this day because you were actually the Northern California chair of her campaign. I want you to talk about Shirley Chisholm and why she's so important to American history.
I tell you, Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm was a phenomenal woman. She was the first African-American and the first woman to run for the presidency. She actually paved the way for Reverend Jackson and now for our great President Barack Obama. And that changed really the political landscape of our country. I got involved in politics through Congresswoman Chisholm. She came to my campus, Mills College, in Oakland, California. I was president of the Black Student Union. And it's a long story, but bottom line is she insisted that I register to vote, and I had a course that I was going to flunk because they required me to work in a presidential primary, and I didn't want to work for McGovern, Muskie, or Humphrey because they didn't really reflect the issues I thought that spoke to my life and the lives of others. I was a young single mom on welfare trying to get through school and raise my two kids. But Shirley Chisholm, bottom line, was a woman who cared about me, my community, but also the country and the world. She spoke fluent Spanish. She talked about immigration rights. She was against the Vietnam War. She talked about poverty. She was an educator. She was a great woman, and she became a close friend and mentor and helped me in all of my campaigns for the California legislature and then for Congress. And it's important that we preserve our legacy. So thank you for raising her and honoring her on this day. You know, we finally got a Shirley Chisholm stamp put in place, so you can order it through the U.S. Postal Service. There's a beautiful portrait hanging in a prominent place in the Capitol. Again, that's as a result of the Congressional Black Caucus members, myself, taking the lead on this. And so it's important that we do everything we can do to honor Shirley Chisholm with buildings, with her life. We are looking at ways to make sure that school districts get the information on her, because she was a woman who oftentimes doesn't get the kind of credit that she needs, that she deserves, and her rightful place in history. But she certainly paved the way for me, and I would not be a member of Congress had it not been for Congresswoman, the Honorable Shirley Chisholm.
Mm. You know, you mentioned Congresswoman Barbara Lee. You mentioned that she was anti-Vietnam, and I find it interesting too, the parallels between you two in that regard, because you were the only member of either House of Congress to actually vote against the authorization of use of force following the 9/11 attacks. You were actually the lone wolf. You were by yourself. What was that feeling like to stand by yourself? But also, you were so right, because we all see now what came out of that.
You know, that was a blank check. That was the resolution that gave not only President Bush, but now President Obama and any future president the authorization to use force to go to war wherever, whenever, for however long, without members of Congress exercising their constitutional duty and responsibility. It's been used over 30-some times. I'm trying to get it repealed, and believe you me, now it's not just myself, but each time I bring up an amendment to repeal that resolution and the Iraq resolution, I get about 160 votes. So it was a very lonely feeling at that point, but I knew that was the right vote because there was no way after the horrific attacks and during that 3 days after the terrible things that happened, my chief of staff, his cousin was Wanda Green on the flight that went down in Pennsylvania. And so our office was very angry. We were in mourning, just like the rest of the country, fearful. But that's not the time for elected officials to run to judgment and to declare war when we didn't even know for how long, against whom, and for whatever, what purpose. So hopefully now I'm fighting now to get a resolution of authorization to be voted up or down to Congress as it relates to this new war front and war footing that we're on in Syria. They're using, this administration is using the resolution I voted against to conduct war in Syria. Now, that may or may not be the correct strategy, but a military-first strategy should be debated because only Congress can give that authority. So here we go again, but we're working. I know the president wants a new authorization, but the Republicans, of course, are trying to stop it, and there's some of us who are going to continue until that comes to the floor.
Mm. You know, I want to talk about what's happening now this year, because this year is a very important year, the final year for President Barack Obama, and also an election year. This is a major year in politics, especially in Washington. Talk about what's happening on the ground. What are the issues that you want to see members of either party addressing that are critical to the American people?
I think, first of all, it's critical that we address the Voting Rights Act. In so many states throughout our country, they're trying to really take away our democratic rights. Central to our democracy is the right to vote. But we see in states all over the country ways to suppress the vote as it relates to African Americans, people of color, seniors, our students. And so Congresswoman Terry Sewell, along with Congressman, some great members, Johnson, Congressman Lewis, Congressman Scott from Georgia, most all members of the Congressional Black Caucus and others have introduced legislation that would restore our voting rights. And so that's at the top of the list, because if we don't have the right to vote, a very few people in this country will be exercising power over the majority of this country. And we've got to get money out of politics and overturn Citizens United. This corporate money now, undisclosed money, that comes into our communities in elections to misguide people and to deceive people, that's got to be at the top of our priority as it relates to this election cycle. And so I'm just encouraging people, don't be fooled by any of these tricks that the Republicans are up to, and really demand that we pass our new Voting Rights Act, and that we stop all of these efforts to suppress the vote.
You know, I know you have to run, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, but I have to ask you, because you are talking to us on a jazz radio station, do you dig jazz?
I love jazz. I actually, that's probably one of my hobbies, listening to jazz and taking care of my plants. When I was in high school and grammar school, actually, I played the piano and the organ. I received music scholarships when I graduated, but I haven't opened my piano in 30 years. But I love jazz, and I'm glad that I'm talking with the public who really loves jazz, because it's our duty to preserve jazz and the legacy of our great jazz artists, and to really remember that jazz really has been embraced by the rest of the world, but it basically started with us, and it's a beautiful music form, and I think that people appreciate good jazz and being able to listen to your radio station. I know when I was in Atlanta over the weekend, I certainly did, and I loved it.
Oh, well, thank you so much, ma'am. Final question, what's in store for you for the year 2016?
Of course, this is election year, so I'm running for re-election just as Congressman Lewis Scott and Johnson. We all are registering people to vote. We're fighting to make sure our constituents know what we have done in terms of our communities, how we've directed federal resources, helped create jobs, helped turn this economy around, and that we still have a lot of work to do because it hasn't really, closed the gap as it relates to institutional racism, racial discrimination, income inequality. And so a lot of the work we're doing this year is trying to get a budget put forth that addresses all of the issues that we care about in terms of health care disparities, in terms of job creation, infrastructure, criminal justice reform, and working on our common agenda. So we've got to do that at the same time that we are campaigning for re-election, making sure that the public understands what members of the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Democrats have really done over the last few years, even with a Republican Congress that wants to dismantle government and wants to get rid of all of the initiatives such as Head Start and Higher Ed Act, Department of HUD, all of the great society programs that have lifted people out of poverty. So we're calling to the attention of the public those 12 initiatives that helps the African-American community and communities of color, and how the Ryan budget, Paul Ryan, Speaker Ryan, how his budget would have cut all of those programs or dismantled them, so that there's a clear message in terms of who stands for who. And when you talk about issues, who has a budget that puts forth a budget that looks out for the least of these, the poor, the most vulnerable, and versus who has a budget that looks out for the wealthy and the most powerful. So part of what we're doing this year through our elections and through our work is clarifying those differences so people will have the information to make those decisions on who to vote for.
All right. That was the voice of Congresswoman Barbara Lee. And she, of course, gave us a call after receiving an award this Saturday for the Trumpet Awards here in the city of Atlanta. And who knows, she may have another career as a jazz pianist. We don't know.
I love it. Thank you very much.
You take care, Congresswoman Barbara
okay,
Lee.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.